Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Diana West is in the house virtually. We are spending this full hour with her, my idea of a very good time, and we are in the throes of exploring the essence of her marvelous book, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character, in which you really chronicle in exhaustive detail, Diana West, this litany of influence operators, agents of influence, if you will, inside first the federal Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration, then the Harry Truman administration, and the impact that they had with the policies they helped shape for, you know, generations, really, not just during the immediate period in which they operated. And I'd like you to sort of pick up with that narrative, because there are several, in addition to Alger Hiss, other characters that exemplify this. And I think we need to understand them, what they did, in order to understand what we're dealing with at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, I would just like to start with a quotation from Louis Boudens, who had been a senior official in the American Communist Party, an agent. He also was managing editor of the Daily Worker until he renounced communism in 1945 and returned to the Catholic Church. And he became an extremely knowledgeable and informative witness, wrote many books that I commend people, just about this concept of espionage as in spying versus the influence operations that are much more pernicious. He wrote on the subject at length, but one of a very pithy quotation is, he said, "Deadly as espionage proves to be, it is the infiltration which influences policy that is the most threatening to American security." And here we have our experts today in academia and letters telling us that such influence operations don't even exist. They are a myth, in the words of Mark Cramer, writing in the Washington Post just this past week. This is, it's mind-boggling, but it's very important to arm ourselves with the facts so that we can understand it for the complete fallacy that it is.
Diana, let me turn from Alger Hiss, a particularly notorious Soviet agent of influence, spy, if you will, to Harry Dexter White. I think his name is probably not as remembered as was Hiss's, but his role was also extraordinarily insidious, was it not?
It was so influential in the most pernicious fashion in around the world, beginning with his efforts successful to maneuver in certain ways to prevent any kind of truce between the United States and Japan before World War II, and indeed to insert the language that was viewed and written as an ultimatum into the U.S. cable flow back to Japan that precipitated the attack on Pearl Harbor. This was no accident. He actually received his language from a Soviet handler named Pavlov, who would write about this in the 1990s at the old Ebbett Grill across the street from the United States Treasury Department, where White worked, where he became really the number two man under Morgenthau during these war years. That was just his first great success, which I will note was coordinated beautifully in Tokyo, where another influence operation run by Richard Sorga was actually helpful in maneuvering the war party into power in Tokyo, as opposed to the peace party led by Prince Konoya, which was interested in reaching some kind of modus vivendi with the United States. That could have worked out beautifully for all concerned. This is the kind of activities an influence agent, very sophisticated, can bring about. It's incredible. If we look toward the end of the war, we see Harry Dexter White very influential again in the creation of what's known as the Morgenthau Plan, which people will remember vaguely as the plan to turn Germany into a potato patch, which ultimately had the effect of keeping the Nazi regime in power and fighting to the bitter end rather than seeking surrender.
Because it was so absolutely harsh and would not allow them to return to, you know, a civilized nation.
Exactly. And then of course, his impact on China in destroying the nationalist forces of Chiang Kai-shek, the great betrayal of Chiang Kai-shek, which was effectively engineered at the Treasury Department involving gold, the very slow and indeed never transmitted gold shipments to stabilize his government. It's a complicated long story, but those are three very important aspects of Harry Dexter White's incredible career as an agent working to advance Stalin's goals of world conquest. There's really no other way to say it.
Yeah. And Diana, you have done some analysis in your marvelous book, American Betrayal, of what the costs to mankind were of such decisions. Bringing on the war with Japan, extending the war with Germany, and not least, turning over to the communists China. Give us a sense of that, if you would.
Yes, I will add quickly that a couple of White's cohorts or fellow conspirators at the Treasury Department would actually end up going to Red China and working for Mao in the aftermath. So that's just a cute little tag end. But the cost of this is really where you understand why I called the book American Betrayal. The betrayal not just of America, but really the world, because there was an effort underway to expand the Soviet Union to empower Stalin. This is what was driving these agents and communists inside our government and also inside other governments, whether it was in Japan, our enemy Japan, or our ally England. I mean, they were at work all over, in very sophisticated. The work I maintained after I did the research that I did, and I found that I was not alone in this opinion. I found, for example, General Wiedemeyer, Ambassador Bullitt, others Ambassador Earle, others in history who came to the same realization. The war could have ended years earlier. The World War II might well have been brought to a close with American victory in as early as 1943. That seems to be the most general idea. And when you actually realize that most of the casualties, whether it was the Holocaust against the Jews in the concentration camps or the tens of millions of just in Europe alone of combatants and civilians, the utter destruction of many central European cities, Germany and elsewhere, that took place all in the last, year. So much of the carnage was really in the last year of the war.
Including the Battle of the Bulge, the worst military debacle.
Yes, my own father, a veteran of D-Day, was also, he was basically, his war was bookended by D-Day and then the Bulge. And I concluded that neither, it seems, were actually necessary to get to a point of victory. And that's a very shocking statement, and indeed it unfolds over many chapters of American Betrayal because it's so counter to what we've been taught, to the sort of our adherence and our love of the war narrative as it's been told to us. But this is what the documents reveal that have been covered up and hidden.
And this would have been because in the absence of D-Day, had the U.S. government not been under the influence of Soviet operatives and perpetuating the war, we may well have seen the government of Germany surrender. Is that your thesis?
Well, there's a chapter, chapter 10 of American Betrayal is about the anti-Nazi, anti-communist Germans who were desperate for aid to overthrow Hitler. And there were a number of efforts to reach out at the highest levels of the German hierarchy, including, for example, Admiral Canaris, who was the head of German intelligence, reaching out to Britain and America seeking aid in overthrowing Hitler. And there were a number of efforts made throughout the war by these people who got not one bit of help from the U.S. or the British in any of these efforts that would possibly have led to a German surrender much earlier.
As long as they could surrender to the Allies in the West and not fall under the heel of the Soviets, which, as we saw, it was an incalculably horrible thing. Diana, we have to pause one more time. We'll be right back with more, and we'll talk about both the factual underpinnings of Diana's research and the curious criticism under which she has fallen right after this.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.